The reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old one has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
So we're taking a break from the book of Acts, and we're going to be exploring the fruit of the Spirit, hence the video. But before we're looking at the fruit, we're going to explore being a new creation. The passage read today is in the middle of Paul's teaching on our new identity as believers and its practical outworking. Briefly, we no longer belong to this world, but our dwelling is in heaven, and we are groaning and longing to be there. We now live by faith, not by sight, and our goal is to please Christ. Now, believers are new spiritual creations, so we should no longer view things from a worldly perspective, but from a spiritual one. Paul drew from his own experience here. Now, as you may remember from Acts, Paul had just become a believer after encountering the risen Christ on the road to Damascus. Before this point, he viewed Jesus purely from a human perspective. Now, we're not told of any interaction between Jesus and Paul, but it's not difficult to imagine that Paul would have at least heard of all the stories going round about Jesus. He may have even heard him preach. Being a Pharisee, he was also probably at some of Jesus' many trials. Through all this, however, Paul only viewed Jesus in a worldly way. He was a false prophet. He might have been a miracle worker, but certainly wasn't from God, and definitely not God's son. He definitely wasn't the Messiah. He didn't fit into his idea of what Messiah should be. After Jesus' movement spread, following his supposed resurrection, Paul considered it his personal mission to destroy this new sect, especially after witnessing the stoning of Stephen. But then, Paul met the risen Jesus. He had been wrong, and those he had been persecuting had been right. Jesus had indeed risen from the dead, and he was God's Messiah. He needed to spend time reevaluating everything he'd been told. So he spent 3 years in Arabia doing just that. Now, although Paul had his perspective of Jesus changed, he was aware that others still considered him from a worldly viewpoint. And this is indicated by what he writes earlier in verse 12. So that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. When writing this, Paul would have had in mind the words that God spoke to Samuel. Now, as we're told in 1 Samuel 16, Samuel was searching for King Saul's successor. When he came to Jesse's house, he explains that he was there to anoint one of his sons as a future king. Jesse then presented his sons to Samuel. When he saw Eliab, he thought he'd found the next king. He was firstborn, tall, and good-looking. But God saw something else. It's then we're told, "The Lord does not look at the things people look at. Human beings look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Now that Paul was a believer, everything had changed. The first word in verse 17 is therefore. And there's an old saying, whenever you see a therefore, you have to ask, what's it there for? I'm glad most of you know that. It's a bit like an equal sign. Whatever we're about to be told is a direct result or consequence of what we've just been told. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. When a person comes to faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is placed inside of them. Now, this is representative of many things, and the Holy Spirit has many functions. But we're just going to be looking at him as a seal of the Father and the agent of renewal. We are a new creation, something different from what we were before. The Holy Spirit works on our inside, which will reflect on the outside. So now, sometimes the outworking of this change is immediate, sometimes it's gradual, but we are changed nonetheless. Now, some have likened this new creation to the original creation back in Genesis. God didn't create something new out of something old. He created something brand new out of nothing. As one commentary puts it, we are not reformed, rehabilitated, or re-educated. We are recreated, new creations, living in vital union with Christ. At conversion, we do not merely turn over a new leaf, we begin a new life under a new master. Notice also the past tense that Paul uses here. The old has gone, the new has come. This is not some future hope or promise, but a current reality. Once we come to faith, once we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, we are a new creation. Our old life of slavery to sin and death has gone, and our new life to Christ has come. As Paul exhorts us in Galatians, we should now live by the Spirit. The mark of a Christian is by what fruit they produce. By their fruit you will know them, as Jesus says in Matthew 7. Now, there are 9 things listed in Galatians as being the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These aren't things that we can really do without the Holy Spirit's help. We can try, but we'll soon exhaust ourselves, and others will be able to see that. Plus, as Paul admits in Romans 7, for what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? It is only through the work of the Holy Spirit inside us that we are able to truly exhibit this fruit. Now notice there are 9 qualities listed, but the word fruit is singular. This indicates that these qualities constitute a unity. All of these should be manifest in a believer through the Holy Spirit. And all this is only possible because of God reconciling us to himself. Ever since the fall in the Garden of Eden, mankind has been in rebellion against God. As far as God's concerned, there's only 2 states to being, either in submission to him or against him. There's no middle ground or third state. As Jesus says in John 3, those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe stand condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. But how does God reconcile us to himself? through his Son, Jesus. The only way we could ever be reconciled back to God is by us offering ourselves as a perfect, sinless, living sacrifice for our sins. The problem is, no one is perfect, as we're all born in sin. That's Psalm 51. So our sacrifice would have been invalid, not to mention killing us. God sent his Son, Jesus, into the world, just as he promised to do back in the Garden of Eden. When Jesus was on earth, he fulfilled the prophecies about his first coming, lived a life in full submission to God's will, demonstrated his authority by healing the sick, raising the dead, feeding multitudes, calming storms, and casting out demons. His most powerful act, though, was on the cross. Jesus willingly allowed himself to be flogged and crucified. He didn't want to. Remember, back in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed 3 times for there to be another way, but there wasn't. So he submitted, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." Jesus stayed on the cross, and as the sky turned black, all the sin of all the world was placed on him. Now, Jesus did not become sin, but all of sin was placed on him, and he endured God's wrath alone, so we don't have to. By raising Jesus from the dead, God confirmed Jesus' perfect life and sacrifice. Now there is a way back to God. Now, we all sin. We're all in rebellion against God and deserve punishment. Jesus took that punishment so we don't have to. We can accept his sacrifice on our behalf and submit to him, or we can choose to reject it and face our own punishment, eternity in hell. Those are the only 2 options. For those of us who have accepted Christ as our Lord and Saviour, we are given a message of reconciliation, which Paul starts talking about in this section immediately prior to today's reading. As we have been reconciled to God through Jesus, we have an obligation to tell others about this good news, which is what the word gospel means. Jesus didn't just die for a select few, but for everybody. If you were the last person on earth, Jesus would still have died on that cross for you. We need to tell people about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and the difference he's made in our lives. Now, some will accept our testimony, others will not. That's not up to us. Our job is to tell people and leave the rest to God. Now, when we are doing this, we are representing Christ as his ambassadors. Now, an ambassador is an official representative of one country or organization to another. As I said at the beginning, when we become believers, we are no longer part of this world. We are now ambassadors from our heavenly home to this world. There's an old saying, sometimes you're the only gospel some people will ever read. It's both sad and challenging how true that is. How are we doing as Jesus' ambassadors? Do people look at us, what we say and how we behave, and see something different and want to know more? Or do they see us and reject anything to do with Christianity? I'm sure we've all come across people who've been interested in Jesus, but have been hurt by Christians, or those claiming to be Christians, and so have turned their back on the whole thing. We are Christ's ambassadors to the world. So whatever we say and do, wherever we are, we need to remember that we are representing Jesus. Paul's plea to the Corinthians echoes to all generations. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God does not want anyone to go to hell, but have a restored relationship with him. But by rejecting Jesus' sacrifice, that's where you're choosing to go. God took his perfect, sinless Son, and in that moment on the cross, placed on him all the sins of all the world, past, present, and future, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus took our sins so we could have his righteousness. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, all of our sins are forgiven and will not be counted against us. Now, we may still have to face the consequences of our actions here on earth, but God has forgiven us and will be with us whatever those consequences might be. Whoever we were in the past, whatever we were like, whatever we may have said or done, as far as God's concerned, all that has been dealt with by Jesus on the cross, and the Holy Spirit has made us a completely new person. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Let us pray.